All right, you're awake now. That's good. I have been remiss, among other things. There is a box back there for the offering, and we welcome any gifts. If you're a visitor, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's not your Lord and Savior, you're not obligated to do anything. You need to receive the gift of everlasting life. That's what counts. Then God welcomes your gifts for his kingdom and for his service. All right, second item. We have on the back of the table a updated list of all the pastors that will be preaching to us the next few days. We've tried to double them up a little bit, and it's kind of become a little bit crazy because of the schedule. This morning we have Brother Mike Carey, and we are very grateful that he's going to come and bring us the word this morning. And then we have Lucas Kitchen coming next Sunday. There is a slight possibility that Lucas may become a candidate, so y'all come and enjoy him. Next Sunday we have the vote on the elders and deacons who will be coming into onto the board. We'll still have one leadership council, but we have different people with different offices being welcomed and brought into this. By the way, I'm told that there's a change on the ballot. Mr. Wayne Bailey wants to serve as a deacon, but he doesn't want the office of deacon. So we are glad to have him take his name off the ballot, but he is a wonderful man of God, and we just really enjoy having him serve at the church. Other items. This coming Monday is the second Monday. What does that mean? We do the second coming. On the second Monday, we always study the second coming. We do this almost always at my dental office. We have a room there that seats about 20, 25 people. Last time we had the room filled, and we announced that we're going to be doing a special update on the coronavirus. And so the leadership council said, yes, you can use the church. Sean is going to be needing the large screen TV, and we're going to try to get you all updated on the information. All I can say to you is right now, a lot of the stuff that we're getting out of the news is very, very artificially manufactured. According to this morning's website, only 830 people have died from the coronavirus in China so far. That's all true, right? No. What I'm also reading on the internet is that they have 10 crematorium working 24/7 burning bodies. So you do the math. They burn about 10,000 bodies a week. That is probably a more accurate count than what we're being told officially by the Chinese news. There are things going on with this that are very, very frightening, very, very disturbing. And the consideration by some of the people we're listening to say that this is a coronavirus that has been weaponized. That is, it becomes more contagious, more efficient. Some of the studies we're reading is that the death ratio is not below 1%, but the death ratio is somewhere between 15 and 16%. And it is spreading very rapidly. It's able to spread in a very effective way. So we want to give you as much of the updated information as we can, because you have to look around the edges of the internet to get all this stuff. Sean Keon is going to be the main researcher who will be talking. I will do some of the biblical introduction to it, but I think it's something that you'll really want to be there for. It's going to be here in the church at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So come on, if you can, for the update on the coronavirus. Tuesday night, we're having a leadership council meeting here at the church. Wednesday night, we're going to be continuing 2 Timothy, and that should be a lot of fun. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about apostasy. Scary word. Yes? Right. The women also have the study Tuesday night at 6:30. So if you want to come for that, we welcome you for that. Is that everything? Have I listed all the events? Everything's going on. Is that enough? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, you're exhausted. Thursday, you get Thursday night off, okay? Good. All right. Anything else here that I've missed? Okay. We are glad to have you here. God bless you. And Tim?
Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you prepared for us. Lord, we are grateful that you watch over us and care for us as your children. Lord, we thank you for all the provisions of this life. And help us, Lord, not to take a single breath for granted. It is because of you that we have life. Lord, we are thankful also for your Son and his sacrifice, because it was by his death that we have eternal life. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you put your hand and protect our servicemen and women all over the world. Protect them from the evil that surrounds them. Also, Lord, that you be with our leaders of this great country. Come into their hearts and guide them by your wisdom. I pray that your glory and wonder shine through us all as we do and seek your will in our everyday life. Lord, as we prepare to worship you, I pray that each of us lay our fears and concerns at your feet, that we would open our minds and hearts to hear your message and give you our full measure of worship. May it honor and please you. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things to him who asks? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. I read through 12.
It's over 35 years now, I think. First moved to Mineola, met this man, and he's been my buddy and my builder for a long time. He is a man of God, a man of the Word, and a man of a tremendously profound and yet elegant and simple faith. And it is our great privilege to have him this morning ministering to us the Word of God. Thank you. Do you mind if I move those flowers? I want people to see you.
I'm pretty short. Yeah, that'd be great.
All right.
I didn't think I was that short, but yeah. Well, thank you so much again. As I mentioned this morning, it is a privilege and an honor to be here and to be able to come and to share a portion of God's Word with you. I'm overwhelmed by the love of God that He has for us. And, you know, you just, when you feel that that sort of love that God has poured upon us and shed into our hearts, you can't help but want to speak of that love and to talk about him. As Paul said, I am constrained by the love of God. That's a pretty good picture, being constrained, in other words, being held. I'm held to it. I'm compelled to talk about it, you know. And nothing more I love than to talk about our precious God and our great God and what he has done for us. And so again, I ask that we take our minds off of those things that are happening in the world and we focus upon God this morning and what he has done for us. But Steve, I could just take your songs this morning, and it has preached my message, and we can just have a closing prayer and go home. That was such beautiful songs. God will take care of you, and day by day. Well, let's go ahead and can we just have another quick word of prayer before we begin? And Father, we just come to you this morning, and Father, it is so wonderful that we can call you our Father because of what Christ done on the cross, Father, and by your grace that has been poured out upon us, Father. Lord, you are so merciful. Father, you are long-suffering. Father, you are a God of love, of never-ending love. Father, you are so wonderful to us as your children. And Father, we praise you this morning. Father, we hope that our worship to you this morning would be pleasing to you. Father, we pray that your name be glorified this morning. Father, that your name be hallowed this morning. Father, that you pour out into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning how good you are to us, Father, and help us to come to that understanding. Father, as we look around and see the things that are happening in this world, Father, we know that our future is bright and beautiful, and the things that you have in store for us is beyond our understanding and explanation. But Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning. We thank you for your precious Son that died on a cross for our sins, Father, for that sacrifice. Father, we just praise you this morning now, and because of these things, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's get started, and let's go to our scripture this morning. We'll be in the book of Psalms. Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That was my scripture reading this morning, and the message titled Opening of the Mouth was probably not what some of you expected. Brother Steve said I was kind of thought that about opening the mouth and then inserting my foot into it. So generally what happens, and we have a lot of scripture that urges us to be careful with what we say when we do open our mouth. And David was one that said, put a guard over my lips and a door over my mouth, that he would be careful in what he said. But this scripture is urging us to open our mouth. We have, the scripture divides itself into two things. First, an exhortation from God, and then a promise from God this morning. Who doesn't need to be blessed by God? What about Lake Country Bible Church? Does Lake Country Bible Church need God's blessings upon this church? Is God finished with Lake Country Bible Church? Are there things that God would still want to do with Lake Country Bible Church? Absolutely. I hope you would say amen to that. I think God has great plans, and the future, if we will allow Him to work in our lives and to open our mouths wide. And so I'd like to take a look at this morning and put this in the context of what does this mean to open our mouths. And how does He say to open it? Wide. Well, I'd like to give us an example in nature this morning as we think about this scripture. Jesus, when He taught, often will use nature as an example to exemplify what He was talking about. And not always does it work perfectly, but in some instances it works pretty good, and in some cases it fails. And of course, there's nothing in nature that would completely exemplify who God is. But when I think about this scripture in the springtime, I always have these birds that are coming up underneath my porches and trying to build a nest, and I try to tear them down as fast as they build them, but, my wife says, no, there's eggs in there, let those little birds hatch out, Well, have you ever seen those little birds after they hatch out in the springtime and their mother comes to feed them? There was one on our porch that you could just make a noise, and all of a sudden you would see nothing but all these little heads pop up, and they were all mouth. I guarantee it was nothing but just big gaping holes there as they come up. Let's make some observations first about this, what's happening here. These little birds, if we was to put ourselves in the place of these birds, what are they doing? What are they reaching out for? Well, they're reaching out for something they desperately need, and that is sustenance, what would sustain them. And when we think about these little birds, if they were left to their own, what would happen to them? It would be certain death. It would be certain destruction for them. They need that mother or that father bird that takes care of them. They have a need in their life, and that need is built up by hunger mostly. So when we think about these birds and we compare ourselves to them, how are we, if God was to leave us to ourselves alone, what would happen to us? Face certain destruction, face certain punishment for our sins. We would face certain death and a separation from Him through eternity, never to know Him, never to be in His presence ever again. And so as we see that This mother bird cares for these little birds. We also see the same thing with God as He cares for us. Now, a lot of the promises and exhortations that we have in Psalms that God gave to the nation of Israel, they don't all apply to the church. There's some things that God promised Israel and some things that He intended for Israel to do, but they don't apply to the New Testament church. But when it comes to God's attributes and Him talking about Himself and what He can do, I think this scripture fits well, even with today's New Testament church, with you and I. And these are things that you and I need. Now, as we, this morning in Sunday school, if you wasn't here, you're not going to follow along too good with this, but we was discussing prayer and how Jesus wanted us to approach God when we pray to Him. And as we've talked about, God doesn't allow us to approach Him in just any way we see fit. He lays out before us in His Word who He is, His attributes, and how we are to approach Him, and how we are to worship Him, and how we are to come before Him and ask for things. But He does tell us that we can come boldly before the throne because of the work that Christ has done and our acceptance of Him and who we are as adopted children of God. But on our own, we could do nothing. We do not have a righteousness on our own that's acceptable by God. The only righteousness that you and I have is because we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is in Christ and in Christ alone and no other way. There's not one work, there's not one deed that you can do that gains you any merit with God. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can come to Him, and that the things that we do in this life are counted as righteousness is because of Jesus Christ. And then we see that those little birds, do you think there's much worry in the minds of these birds? Do they fret? No, they know that they're going to be fed. And so all they have to do is open their mouth and rely on their mother to come and feed them. And so that's the same way with us as Christians. But sadly, many Christians, we live a life of worry and concern and anxiety, and we're constantly concerned about life and where life is going and our finances and our family and all of these things. And worry, as the book of James tells us, that it's like a double-minded man. If we worry, it's like a double-minded man, and that we cannot expect to receive anything from God. There are some things that keeps us from receiving the blessings of God, the goodness of God, as we sung about this morning. And we'll talk about those here in a few minutes. But as we see, as He says, I am the Lord thy God. In other words, He says, I am Jehovah. I am the God of all gods. I am the covenant God of Israel. This morning as He comes and talks to the people of Israel, He says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Let's look at I love going to scripture as I teach or as we bring the message this morning. If you will, turn with me to a couple of scriptures that as God describes Himself, we talked about His name this morning in the Lord's Prayer. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. And we talked about that the first request of the Lord's Prayer is, hallowed be thy name, that God would make His name His name known as holy. We see it throughout the Bible how He did things just for His namesake. In Psalms 23, this morning, as Brother Steve sang, some of the song was about Psalms 23. We see that the psalmist says, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. And so we see that God is His desire. He delights in blessing His children and to bringing them blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, I'll go through this kind of quickly. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon earth beneath, there is none else. And then flip on over to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in His excellency on the sky. And then one more, if you will, the book of Psalms 97. Psalms is pretty much in the center of your Bible. If you're not familiar with that, where to go, just kind of open it in the middle, and there it will be. Psalms 97, one verse, verse 9. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. So we see that the God that is telling us to open our mouths wide and He will fill it is a God that is able to do far and exceedingly more above what we can actually, what we think or ask, is what the Scripture tells us. And so in the Lord's Prayer, as we were discussing this morning, it said, give us this day our daily bread. We have the right to petition God for things. And as we think about that Scripture, the first part of the Lord's Prayer makes us focus upon who God is and what He has done for us and who He is to you and I as our Father. But then we also, He brings to our mind the song that we sang, God will take care of you, and day by day. You notice in the Lord's Prayer, it's not that we ask, Lord, give us our bread for a whole year, and I'll see you in 2021. No, it's, Lord, give us what? This day. We ask for day by day. And you know, that tells us something about who we are as God's creation. God has created us as needy people. We are very needy. We think about the little birds again in the nest. Are they not needy things? They are completely helpless without their parents feeding them. Jesus said that without me, you can do what? Nothing. God created us to be very needy people. There's no one that is a man unto that has made his own self, that he is his own master, that he is a self-design, that everyone needs someone in their life. As children, we needed our parents. And as we grow older, we need each other. We need a fellowship. We need the body of Christ in our lives. And not only that, we need an employee, or we need employers to work for us, or we need the government to help protect us and protect our country and our military. So the list just goes on and on. We are very needy, needy people. And if you think that you're independent upon your own, you're sadly mistaken. The world is full of people that don't recognize where their blessings come from. Even a non-child of God, that everything they have comes from God. God has blessed them. They just don't recognize it, and they're unthankful in their lives of those things. And that was one of the greatest things that bothered, that was one of the greatest sins that Israel committed against God, is they pretty much just forgot Him and wanted to go their own way and not have Him in their lives and not be placing their faith. And so we see in the example of the birds that they have an extreme faith in their mother, that she's going to come and to supply their needs and give them what they wanted. And so they open their mouths wide to receive what she has. Now, unlike with this example in areas where it does fail, unlike the mother may not be able to give each bird the exact same amount, the ones that has the wider mouth and is more pushy will generally get the more food. But and this is where the example fails, because God can give each person exactly what they need. As we sang in one of the songs, He doesn't supply everybody with exactly the same thing, because many people could not receive the things. If God gave them exactly what they asked for, they could not receive it. That's the other part of this thing. It's one thing to be given something, but it's being able to receive it and being able to use it and being able to digest it. Paul says to the church that I have to teach you with words of milk and not meat, because you're not able to receive it. Many children of God remain baby Christians throughout their life, and God can never fill them with the blessings that He desires to, because they're not able to receive it. Jesus said, I have much more to tell you, but you're not able to receive it. And so we have to, a person may ask for more talent, and God will not give you more talent when you don't use the talent that you have. And some people may ask for riches. Now, this is not a message on name it, claim it, type deal. But I'm not saying that God is able to do that if He so desires. But many people, if God gave them the desires of their heart, which is sometimes is not His will, if you want your will to be fulfilled all the time, make your will God's will, and you'll always receive an answer from God. But for many people, if God gave us everything that our hearts desired, we'd get the big head and go about bragging how we achieve these things on our own. So we have to be very careful in these areas. But we see that the birds are very needy. They have a necessity. They are persistent in their desire to be fed. How foolish would it be for the birds to refuse what the mother brings to them, when in reality, many times, we refuse to accept what God has brought into our lives. Everything that God allows to come into the life of a child of God is for their good. Not one thing would God bring us that's bad for us in our lives. That's when in the Sunday school, we read the verse from the book of James that every good gift is from the Father of lights and comes down from heaven. And God would never allow anything in our lives that's not good. You say, well, I'm going through some terrible, terrible things right now in my life. But that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, no circumstance whatsoever in your life that would keep you from praising and worshiping God. I mean, absolutely nothing. When we read about Paul and Silas in the deep, darkest part of that prison where they had been beaten and chained, what did they do? They worshiped God. They continue to worship God. When we think about David in the Bible, as he ran from Saul and he was constantly hiding and running for his life and having to live in caves, and you read some of the most beautiful Psalms where David talked about worshiping God and praising Him for the goodness of God in his life. And so it would be foolish for us to refuse and say, I don't want what God has for me. The birds would certainly die if they refused what their mother brought them. And then also we see that the mother bird would never bring those little birds something that was not good for them. She wouldn't bring them a piece of glass or a piece of metal. She would bring them food, substance that by nature she knows they need, and by nature they would reach up to receive it. And so a lot of times we don't open our mouths and are not able to receive the things of God. But when we think about prayer, we think about asking God for things. Does God have a desire to bless us? He absolutely does. He delights in blessing His children. But there are some things in our lives that keep us from God being able to bless us. So, one of the mainest things is unconfessed sin in the life of a child of God. You know, a lot of times we think about sin and we say, well, we think like the Pharisee, which Christ called a hypocrite, that stood and said, Father, I thank you that you didn't make me like this tax collector or this guy over here. I pray and I tithe and I do all the right things. And I'm just glad I'm not like him. And Jesus called him a hypocrite. And then, of course, Jesus used the other example of the publican or a tax collector that wouldn't even so much as lift his eyes, but smote his chest and said, Father, forgive me, the sinner. You know, you and I are called saints by Paul in the Word of God, but we're also sinners. Even though we've been given a new nature, we still have that old sin nature, and we'll still have that to the day that Christ returns and we are completely sanctified. But He's in the process of sanctifying us in this life. And so we have been given a new nature, which should be an inclination to want the things of God, to have a desire for the things of God, to be thirsty and hungering for the things of God. David said, my heart beateth as the deer at the brook that's needing a drink of water badly. He says, My heart pants like that for the things of God. Paul says, I don't care about, I'm paraphrasing now, but I don't care about anything but the knowledge of Jesus Christ in my life. He says, I bear all the persecution and the things that are happening to me for the sake of those that will be saved, that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. And so, we see that unconfessed sins, you say, well, I'm not as big a sinner as other people. I talked about this in Sunday school class. We have these refined sins in our lives. These are the kind of sins that people that can commit that, and still be preachers and elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers. You say, what kind of sins is that? Well, they're sins that we not consider so bad, and we're so used to them that we even forget that we do them. But what about the sin of just when I start thinking about these things? And really, let me take a side road here right quick. If you want to really know yourself, seek the face of God. Seek to know Him, who He is. Look at His attributes. Climb that mountain, because it will be a mountain to climb if you want to know who God is. To ascend up, to find out who He is and what He is and His attributes. And then when you come down from that mountain, take a look at yourself in the light of who God is, and you'll realize who you really are. You'll come to know the things about you. And one of those refined sins that you'll come to know about is things like a judgmental spirit. Are you critical toward other people, but even worse than that, toward other Christian people within the church? Are you judgmental of them, and do you speak about them in a critical way to other people? And what about something that's akin to judgment, a judgmental spirit, but what about gossip? Any gossipers here today? You get on the Facebook, you can see more gossipers than anything. Because people love to be the bearer of bad news. They love to tell something that's happened to someone else that was bad. And so gossip is another one of those refined sins that we feel we can do and get away with and not worry about it. But these are all these sort of sins that they're not the horrible sins that we think about when we think about sexual immorality or adultery or murder or those sort of things. These aren't, but listen, folks, the Bible says that God is concerned about sin. Sin is sin. All sin is against God. And if we do not recognize, if we do not have a conscious recognition of these things in our life, how will God bless us? How will He bless us when the sin is against Him? We're not asking for salvation again, but when the Bible says that we are to confess our sins, that means that we are to agree with God about our sins. Yes, Lord, I have sinned, and yes, Lord, I have been critical in my spirit. I have been judgmental. Lord, I have gossiped about other people. Lord, I have an unforgiving spirit. I have someone that's did me wrong, and I will not forgive them. Father, what a terrible, terrible sin that is, the sin of unforgiveness. And then we think about pride. What stands in the way of God filling our mouth if it's not pride? What is pride when we talk about it from a biblical standpoint? Pride in the Bible is someone saying, I don't need God. I don't need God in my life. I don't need the things of God. Yes, I know what the Bible says, but I know what works. Pride. The Bible says, God says we are to humble ourselves before Him. And He will what? Lift us up. Pride is a killer of God being able to bless us. And then we have and just that acknowledgement of our sins in our lives, and then a willingness to accept what and where we are in our lives, how that God has made us. We have so many people that are unhappy in their lives because they don't like where they're at. They don't like their house they live in. They don't like the job that they have. Or they don't like their physical circumstances, and they're continually seeking God to give them something better or to get them out of that situation. Paul says, I don't care what circumstance I'm in, I have learned to be content. I have learned to live with great, and I have learned to live without. And so, a discontentment, contentment in God's eyes is great godliness. We need to learn to be content as where God has us and how God has made us. I mean, you don't see them little birds saying, I don't like this bird that I am, so I'm not eating what you bring me. And it's funny, I feel like God intended for me to use these birds as an example, because this brother right back here was talking to me this morning about birds, a bird that was out front, a mockingbird. But so we see that not only does this unconfessed sins, we see that pride in our lives, and then a discontentment. A discontentment is when you compare yourselves to other people and say, or covetousness in our lives. And God compares covetousness to witchcraft. It is a sin that we have daily in our lives that we don't even recognize, and we need to confess these things. And so I think part of opening our mouth wide is being truthful to God about who we are and what we do, because He already knows it. You're not hiding it from Him when you don't tell it, when you don't confess these things. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know about you, about more than I know about myself. And it ought to humble us that God in His great mercy has reached down and is willing to bless us in tremendous ways. Let's look at a couple of scripture right quick on God's desire to bless. Let's go to the Psalms, chapter 1. From the very opening of the first book of Psalms, we won't take time to read this whole thing, but it's just six verses, but it talks about blessed is the man, and he gives some things that they don't do and how they delight, but how that his delight is in the law of the Lord, verse 2, and how he meditates on it day and night. And then look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You notice something special about this tree? This is not a wild tree. This is not like just a thorny old bush that just popped up and grew by itself. This is a tree that has been planted by the river of waters. It is intentional. God is intentional in our lives to bless us. He wants to bless us. And then, if you will, look at Psalms chapter 37. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know what happens when you delight yourself in the Lord? Your desires become His desires. The things that you want are the things that He wants. The things that you hate are the things that He hates. And God is looking to bless those that have the same desires as Him. And our desires will change. When we come to know God, all that we can know about Him, our desires will change. He has given us a new nature that desires the things of God, that desires to change the way we live, that has a desire to be holy, that we are separate from the world, that we're other than the things of this world, that we're not part of this world, and that He is looking to bless us in a tremendous way. It may not be necessarily material things, but I guarantee you that most of us in here have so much stuff that we have to have other buildings to put our stuff in. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? I look around, I see the material things. Sometimes I'll go out in my shop and I see the wonderful tools that I have, and I think, oh my gosh, God gave me these things. And sometimes I'm unthankful. And unthankfulness is another thing that will make you to miss the blessings of God. Being unthankful for the very things that you have, the very place that you're at, the very person of who He has made you, has made you separate from anyone else, and your opportunity to stand out and to be holy is tremendous. God's desire to bless us is His delight. And then look at Romans chapter 5. Let me get over there. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 5, start reading with verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Do you? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we see that what God has done for us is no mere thing. It's no slight thing. God giving his precious Son to go and die on the cross for your and my sins, it's no small thing. For Jesus to be persecuted and shed his blood and face those things and to experience all the things that you and I experience is no small thing. And for him to live a perfect life and fulfill, completely fulfill the law of God is no small thing. And for him to satisfy the justice of God against the penalty of sin is no small thing. So when we go to God in prayer, should it be small prayers? Should it be anemic prayers, little prayers? The problem with us when we pray and our right and if our life is right before God and all these things we talked about, we can pray for big things. Pray greatly to a great God. C.S. Lewis says that God, the problem with our prayer life with God is just we don't pray big enough. God is looking to give us a paradise vacation, but when we are happy playing in the mud, making mud pies. I think William Carey said, do great things for God and expect great things from God. One more scripture with me, Jeremiah chapter 9. Well, that's not the truth. I have one more after this. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. But let him that glorieth in glory, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, what? He says, I delight, saith the Lord. If you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can open your mouth as wide as you want to, and you'll not receive one thing from Him. In the book of Romans, verse 19, the Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. God, for those of you that have accepted Christ as your Savior, that big word propitiation means that God is no longer angry with you. God no longer remembers your sins. That God now views you as being righteous because you're covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you've not come to know Christ by God's grace through faith this morning, I urge you to consider that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're willing to bless us, Father. Father, teach us to open our mouths, but not only open our mouths wide, but Father, to grasp onto the promise that you said you will fill it. Father, we stand upon the promises of this precious word that you've given to us. And Father, we offer to you our praise and our worship this morning. And thank you for your goodness, great goodness to us as your children. And we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.